repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the Word and understand. We need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. Today, we're facing some pretty interesting times, but we have some good news today. Think about this. Harvard Business School is beginning to talk about, we're about to see in a moment, about how important democracy and faith is, how important democracy and religious practices are. Because in democracy, we're about to hear, it depends on people choosing to obey the law. Take a look.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston. And I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah, I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
Think about that. You think about that. You cannot hire enough police. I mean, we're looking right here at what took place just a few hours ago in Baltimore. And in democracy, what they were saying at Harvard Business School, we thank God for them speaking this truth, that you know, it wasn't the fact that men feared men is why they obey the laws in democracy. It's because the gospel's preached, because it's a Judeo-Christian nation. And what he discovered, what he was telling this Harvard professor, is that democracy does not work without faith, because we have to choose to obey the laws that are there. And a fear of man does not do that, but a fear of God. And that is so important. But the only way that we will fear God, if we acknowledge God. We're seeing some things happen today. The only thing you can explain is the way, it's an easy explanation. They are not aware of God. And the God they're talking about is not the God that is, because they have no fear of God. And they're disobeying the Constitution. They're disobeying, you know, all these laws. And I'm talking about not just, you know, people that took place in Baltimore, what took place in other areas. But I'm talking in Washington, D.C. You know, they're actually disobeying these laws. And the key to it is what this particular Harvard professor is talking about, is we have to remember that there is no democracy. There is no democracy without God, because it's a government by the people and for the people, but all of our rights come from God. Once you move God out of that paradigm, there is no democracy anymore. All we have is tyranny. And I just thank God for that. It's just so encouraging. And then it reminds me right now, even today, this very day, from Australia, they have a global call going out to the whole world, to the nations of the world, to pray for us, to pray for America. And they're talking about the things that America's done that's helped them out in their countries, and remembering the good things that have happened, and understand that America has lost her way. And for the next few days, starting today, that they're calling the whole world to pray for America. Take a look at this, and I thank God for this.
G'day, I'm Warwick Marsh, part of the team of the National Day of Prayer and Fasting here in Australia. Our team, together with other national leaders, is calling the whole world to pray and fast for America from the 30th of April right through to the 6th of May 2015. We here in Australia are very grateful for America. Without America's help in the Second World War, we would have been overrun. It was the Battle of the Coral Sea in 1942 that changed the course of the war. So we are calling the nations of the world to pray and fast according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, to pray and fast for blessing for America, for revival for America, and for reformation for America. Without the intervention of America's armed forces, Hitler and the axis of evil that he led would have beaten the Allies in the Second World War. Without America's active resistance, communism would have triumphed in the 20th century. Those two godless ideologies were responsible for over 150 million deaths in the 20th century. How many more lives were spared because of America's stand against evil? Thank God for America. Each year, it's estimated that America gives over $70 billion per year in foreign aid from both governmental, private, and faith-based institutions to the world. People in almost all of the 260 nation-states in the world benefit each year in some way from America's generosity and kindness. Thank God for America. But America is in deep trouble. She has departed from her strong Judeo-Christian faith foundations. The Pilgrims came to America in 1620, as stated in the Mayflower Compact, not to seek their fortune, but for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. George Washington, the first president of the United States, finished his inauguration ceremony on the 30th of April, 1789, by giving glory to God and by placing his hand on a Bible and saying, "So help me God." Presidents still do the same to this day. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States of America, said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. Abraham Lincoln proved he believed in these words when on the 30th of April, 1863, he called for a day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting by governmental decree at the height of the Civil War. God answered Abraham Lincoln's prayer and fasting in times of national crisis then, and he can do the same today. Unfortunately, America is again in crisis because it has forgotten the rock from which it has been hewn, and it is falling into moral and spiritual bankruptcy. Moral and spiritual bankruptcy leads to financial and governmental bankruptcy. America is in great danger from within and from without. Lana Vassa from Australia said there is a fight for the destiny of the USA right now. The destiny of America hangs in the balance. The Lord is calling His people to arise and pray for the United States of America. It is time to contend. Unfortunately, the situation in Australia is not much different. And we in our nation are suffering from the same moral and spiritual bankruptcy for exactly the same reasons. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." The Hebrew word for humble is kana, K-A-N-A, and it also is used in the scriptures to refer to times of fasting. Our respective nations need a good dose of prayer, fasting, and repentance from the fire hydrant of life. Only a concerted and united campaign of prayer, fasting, and repentance can restore the church and then the nation to spiritual health. We need revival and reformation. We need what we cannot do. We need God. So we invite you to join with us and pray and fast for America from the 30th of April right through to the 6th of May 2015, which is the eve of America's National Day of Prayer. Let's pray together. Let's believe God for revival, reformation, and renewal for America. Together, we can make a difference. God bless you.
This is so exciting. This is so exciting and so encouraging to hear the nations of the world begin to cry out to God on behalf of America. This is the crisis that we're in. But when the world begins to pray and begins to remember the wonders of the Lord, and today is the day to begin this time of prayer, and pick a day during this time to fast. Maybe you want to fast the whole time. We'll talk more about this in a moment because after this break, because did you know that Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, declared a day of fasting and prayer? More when we get back from the break. Join us. It's encouraging.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am a refugee here for about 4.5 years. When I first applied for the present job I have, I indicated on the application form that I would not be available to work on Sundays because it interfered with my church practices.
And did they hired you anyways, correct?
Hired me.
And now what are they telling you?
Now I have to work a double shift on Sundays.
Okay, let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. And there's some information, by the way, at aclj.org. I think it would be a great place for you to go. But look, they've got to make a reasonable accommodation at your workplace. If there's someone else that can work that double shift for you, they should allow you to have that time off. It's called a reasonable accommodation, so that means there needs to be other people available to handle that situation.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. We are so honored that you're joining us here. Think about it. They're praying for us. They're asking for global prayer for America around the world. I mean, you think about that. It's so exciting.
Encouraging, very encouraging.
It is very encouraging. And, you know, China's been praying for us for some time.
Yes,
about
they have.
That we would be humbled so that because if America's light goes out, they're talking about how dark it would be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some of the things that we're seeing, I mean, and I say it in a way of it's totally dependent on whether we'll obey God or not, but there's good things in store for America if we'll listen to God, you know, if we'll listen to Him. I mean, Jeremiah wasn't a prophet that was sent to lock Israel up in some bad place. It was to warn Israel to not be locked up in a bad place. Is they just chose not to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just believing, especially some of the things that I've seen. I mean, great, great revival.
Yes.
I mean, as a matter of fact, do you want to share this real quick about just what the Lord was showing you?
Yeah, Lord just gave me a vision the other night that I was walking into a building. When I walked into the building, there was a stand. There was people wall to wall, and I knew that this was the move of God that was coming that we're praying for, believing for, and God has showed us in so many ways. And it was just glorious to see. There were people everywhere, Greg. I mean, wall to wall, there were people sitting in chairs that weren't meant to be chairs. They were just piling in, if you will.
All for God.
All for God with great anticipation, great expectation.
The nations were there.
Yes, yeah, some delegation of Hispanics. They were singing. Just glorious, just spontaneous, just worship, and it was just filling the atmosphere. So
it was just filled with expectancy of what God was going to do.
It was really great. Baptisms were going on.
Awesome.
And very, very exciting. It's coming.
Yes. We've seen that. The Lord has shown me stadiums just filled with people crying out to God, just people hungry for God because God had already prepared their hearts. It's not some fancy message being preached.
Right.
It's the fact that God has prepared the heart for the harvest, and we need to prepare ourselves. You know, the person... You think about this. I forget what the name of that particular movie was. A real good movie done by Wheelhouse or something it's called, where they had this man that was praying for the school that revival would come, and he had a coach facing the Giants.
Yeah.
And the man told him, because the coach was talking about quitting, he said, you tell me, there's a man that was saying he wanted rain, but he was waiting for rain before he prepared his field. But another man was believing for rain, but he was getting his field ready, begin to plant seed and all that kind of stuff. He says, which one do you think is going to get the rain? He's like, the one that prepares his field. I mean, God rewards faith.
Yeah.
And if we begin to prepare ourselves, and one way to prepare ourselves is to recommit our lives to Jesus. Don't just assume we've committed our lives.
Yeah.
Don't try to pick up where we left off. Just say, you know what? I'm going to return to my first love.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole time of prayer is about. God, help us to get back to this place. You know, I was just reading this morning Dietrich Bonhoeffer's autobiography written by
Metaxas, I believe.
Yes. And they walked right into something so similar to what we're facing right now. And what came out of all that chaos was a leader who they thought was going to bring in democracy, who they disassociated all these bad things from him. And eventually they realized this is not a man of reason. This is the leader of this chaos.
Wow.
Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer is the one responsible for the German Church Reformation. And we have to really, and if they would have just turned to God instead of turned to government, because they were turning to government, they were thinking, we got to get this government thing. You know, we got to get a different form of government. And they ended up with Hitler.
Wow.
And all the discourse was going on. All this discourse in Germany.
Which today is the anniversary of his death, by the way, where he committed suicide. All cowards, you know. It's
Hitler.
Hitler,
yes.
Yeah.
And... So all this chaos was going on, and so they thought it was a good thing for him to come in and end the chaos. But the chaos is called democracy, where people are talking back and forth about where we think we should go.
Yeah.
And that's good. Everybody's participating in it. But all of a sudden, he came in, and they had the Night of Long Knives, where they killed all their opposition. And one night, that's why it's called the Night of Long Knives, like 100 or so opposition. Can you imagine something like that? But that's what they thought. They thought they had voted in someone, you know, a chancellor that was going to do all these different things. And what it was a plan. And people began, instead of humbling themselves and turning to God, and one of the big issues, too, was government got involved in the church. And the church got merged. They merged together.
That should never
Yeah, that's why happen. Our founding fathers said, no. You know, that's what the First Amendment's there. That's why when we hear things like, as a matter of fact, I want you to hear this right here. This is just from this last weekend. you know, Hillary Clinton was saying before the nation, I guess at this particular women's meeting that was going on, she was talking right against the First Amendment. And that's how Germany ended up where they ended up. Listen, watch this. You got to see this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
So you think about that. Let's just one more time, because we're looking at, you know, are we going to humble ourselves and pray like the call from Australia is happening, like the Harvard Business Law man is professor is saying, this is what we, if we're going to have democracy, if we don't, this is the way that we're going to go. This particular person's asking to lead our country. And asking us to lead our country, and this is what she's saying. Listen to this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
That is so important, and I wanted you to hear 526 again, because this is from Harvard Business Law. Understand what Hillary Clinton just said, and understanding that this is to be a president, you're actually swearing to uphold the law, the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment, which is the separation of religion and government. Government shall make no laws concerning religion. And so when you become the president, you're swearing to obey or protect the law. So you're going to obey the Constitution.
Yeah. Defend it.
Defend it. Well, take a look at what they said one more time in this business law school, understanding what we're seeing before us right now.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston. And I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah, I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
That's from the Harvard Business Law School.
Wow.
And he says you cannot hire enough police. I don't know if you're seeing right here. I mean, this is right just a couple days, hours ago in Baltimore. And it's we choose to say, I will obey the law. And then when you have someone and you know, America is a nation of laws. That's what we do. It's laws. We talk about, we debate. We decide, you know, do we want this law or do we want that law? We will obey that law, but we don't want this law because that's not something we would want. So that's the way we're supposed to operate. But if the head office, you know, the executive office of our country, you know, says openly, I'm not going to obey the Constitution. I want to, you know, you're supposed to swear to protect that and defend that. And you heard, you know, democracy is when a people choose to obey the law, and it was a fear not of man but of God that caused that. So if you quit, if you change the deep-seated beliefs of a nation, democracy is out the window. As a matter of fact, listen one more time, based on the Harvard Law professor and the graduate that was leaving there, going back to Asia, understanding, now I understand how democracy works, that religion is so important, your relationship with God and your awareness of God. Take a look at this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
So, okay, there it is. That's a great debate. Do we want America anymore? Do we want America for what it was and what it is, what God, that's the original intent of America? This person's wanting to lead the country, and you have to defend the country. You got to defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. And that a domestic enemy is somebody who lives in America, who wars against the Constitution, the laws of the Constitution. And to change deep-seated beliefs of Americans is to do away with the First Amendment, because the First Amendment specifically says, you know, if you could read that for us, John, right there. But the First Amendment specifically says the opposite of that. The government, if you're running for the head government office, think about that, the head government office, that the last thing you're going to do is, like, I want to do away with the thing I'm supposed to defend.
Right.
Watch. Listen.
First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging, which I found out means to reduce or lessen, the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
And so here we are. We're at this particular point. We're going to break at this moment, and I want you to join us. But understand this, that we're going to talk about this because Abraham Lincoln, you know, declared a national day of prayer. And think about it. He was the first Republican president, actually, in America. And he ended the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, ended slavery, and just was an amazing president. And these, we need to listen, because God honored this man's presidency to stop some great oppression that was taking place in our nation. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul, or until they take us down. Thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There's so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this, but when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV. You know, we're talking about, it's just so cool that Australia is praying for us,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, very cool.
I am so thankful, not only Australia, but a global call to prayer.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to join in and pray myself. Definitely. You know, we've been praying for quite some time, and it really should be our lifestyle. But now it's a desperate time of prayer that God would hear. And God does hear. You know, we're going to talk about that after we talk about Abraham Lincoln, to how, you know, God listens. But tell us about Abraham Lincoln and what happened in 1863.
Yeah, actually today, April the 30th.
1863.
152 years ago.
And this is right on the eve of our National Day of Prayer on May the
5th or the 6th? The 6th.
6th, uh-huh.
Yes, wow. So it's actually this 7 days of prayer and fasting mm-hmm. is leading up to.
Right.
But they're doing, and to commemorate, you know, that today was a National Day of Prayer and fasting, actually a day of humiliation mm-hmm. that the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, called. And it was actually absolutely amazing. It's also, by the way, the day that George Washington actually took his oath of office, and where he pledged, so help me God, and actually opened
when he took his place as, I'll be the president.
Yeah. So actually, he turned to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, the book that talks about blessing and curses.
Wow.
And said, you know, so help me God, and kissed the Bible awesome. Today. You know,
which is at the church. It's right. I mean, the Capitol is right across, right there, where the twin towers.
Oh, it's in Manhattan. Yeah,
Manhattan, where the twin towers are.
Amazing. Well, I want to read to you the proclamation that President Lincoln declared. It was pretty amazing. Here it is. Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and of nations, has by a resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and provide by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And in so
think
much...
Think about that statement, the last statement.
Yeah.
Those nations who are blessed are the only ones that say that God is their Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Is the president's on our penny.
Yes.
And our $5 bill.
Yeah. It has a huge monument in D.C.
Yes, the huge monument. Yeah. And the one that signed the Emancipation Proclamation to free slaves from slavery.
And actually, this was during the Civil War. I mean, right. There's great turmoil.
And Civil War, for those that probably might not know, is that was when Americans were fighting against Americans over trying to free Americans who were held in slavery.
Yeah.
You know, for the right. So it was a very intense, amazing presidency that he had to be. He had only God.
Only God
could have touched him to be able to handle a divided nation like that.
Many lost lives. Many lost lives.
Yes. I guess it was, I don't remember the number.
I believe it was more people died in the Civil War than in any other war.
If you
add them all up.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to continue reading. It says,
You're reading the proclamation for the National Day of Prayer from Abraham Lincoln. Okay.
That happened today 152 years
ago. April 30th, 1863.
Correct.
Okay.
And in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins and to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. She's talking about that the civil war could be a judgment on our nation for sins. It says, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown.
Sounds like right now, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not even done. You gotta listen to the rest of this.
Goodness. So civil war could be in our future if we don't.
Yeah.
And it's like everything's trying to divide us. It's amazing. It's
everywhere you look all across the country, it's not about uniting, really. It's all about what sets us apart, dividing. On every issue.
And Jesus said very specifically, he said, any nation and any household divided will fall. And we've got to come together, but that only will happen at the cross.
That's it.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's the only place.
Wow.
We have been the recipients of the choicest of bounties of heaven. We have been preserved for these many years in peace and prosperity. we have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. This is back in 1863 he's talking about. Mm. That no other nation has never been so blessed. And this, the nation just started. It was just
the same, same year the Emancipation Proclamation was signed as well. What you think about calling out prayer and the manifestation of that was a freedom for many of our American citizens who didn't even have the citizenry at that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge, imagine who gets freed in this situation.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting too, is right after that is when the Second Great Awakening happened in America, right before that.
Right before that, yes.
Yes, and like God prepared his people for what was about to happen, and the church was very, very important and relevant in regards to wanting to be abolitionists and to be able to help. And
many of the abolitionists were ministers. A lot of them were preaching the truth.
Sojourn and all different ones. Yes, exactly right.
Absolutely. He says, but in spite of all this blessing, but we have forgotten God. Mm. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own.
Well, this is the President of the United
States. This is the President of the United States saying we've got drunk on our blessing.
Wow.
We've been intoxicated with the wealth of our nation.
And so there's been, 44, 45 presidents? Is it
44, I believe.
44. And so this was the 15th of the 44. 16th, I mean, of the 44 that was saying that this is, we're only here because God has allowed us to be here. I mean, he says in his word.
We took our own credit. He says, let us think that of our superior wisdom, we've made this nation.
Right, right.
When it's God, hand of God.
Wow, dear
hand
Lord, God. Are we there today or what? Lord, help us.
This is where we're at.
We need to pray.
Yeah, yeah. He said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace.
Self-sufficient.
Too proud to pray to the God that made us.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just heartbreaking, isn't it? Are we not here at this very same place today?
Yeah, 150 years later or something like that.
152 possibly. Years later, wow. And are we too proud to pray where we're taking prayer out of schools?
Yes.
We have no recognition of God. We don't want God anywhere in the public square pulling down his word.
Well, we just saw in the context of that, and I want you to see this again. This was just said this weekend from Hillary Clinton. She's talking about, think about what this president's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she's wanting to run for
office.
But look, deep-seated religious beliefs, she's wanting to do away with them. Listen to this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
And it's like that's the antithesis of President Abraham Lincoln.
And George Washington.
And
Thomas Jefferson.
All the presidents. And what Abraham Lincoln's saying in this proclamation is if we go that route and get rid of our beliefs in God, that we will not even have a country.
Yeah.
There's some other country in mind. Mm. That's people who want to do away with God has in mind.
Mm.
And it makes me think of, and if you haven't yet, seen The Pink Room, go to VFNTV.com and see it. But that began a journey. I was wondering why, what was going on in this particular Pink Room, how it could happen. And then I traced it all the way back to, people who wanted to fundamentally transform the nation that they're in.
Wow.
And they wanted to change it where it was, they were God. And I think it ended up in, it was Cambodia, it was Pol Pot, and Pol Pot said, after he killed all the intellectuals, all the religious people, and you may have seen a movie years ago called The Killing Fields, and this happened in the 70s, I believe, so it wasn't forever ago.
Not too far, yeah.
And, anybody who had any kind of wisdom at all was killed. He got rid of the family structure, he put them in groups, and he said, the first day, he said, today's day one, and God is dead.
Wow.
Well, what I just heard from, Hillary Clinton is like, you don't need God.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of. And Abraham Lincoln saying, you can't have this without God.
That's right.
And of course, God says you can't have this without God because he determines whether a nation will rise or a nation will fall. If the nation does evil before him, one he intended to bless it, he said he'll take it down. But he said, and the good he intended to do for that nation, he'll just stop it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people get confused over God had good plans for you.
Sure.
But since you went into rebellion, those plans can change. He could just stop them. But he says, but if that nation repents. And that's what we're talking about
from
here.
From there, I'll bring you back.
From that place, God will bring us back. And this requires nothing less but repent, we got to repent, you know, ever how you say that. It's just, that's the only thing, there's nothing else to do. But the greatest thing that we can do is do what President Abraham Lincoln is saying, and not what we just heard other people that are saying. And people applauded that. There was a couple things in there too that I agree with regards to, you know, get rid of this code words, because there's things people say, you know, they blow whistles, dog whistles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They talk about, and you know what they're really saying when they're saying what they're saying. But it was mixed in with, you know, remove God. Remove. It's like, you don't apply. You got to pause a minute for that. You know.
And many are wanting a time of refreshing, a renewal, the economy to change, but our Bible clearly tells us that, you know, repentance brings times of refreshings will come.
Well, that's why Hitler got in. I mean, they were going through the Weimar Republic. It took millions and millions of the Weimar money, whatever it was, for $1 for America. They're printing money, printing.
They said it was cheaper to
burn. We're printing money now.
It was cheaper to burn their money to heat themselves than it was to pay the power bill, if you will. You know, they were burning it in their fireplaces.
Think about that. And, you know, and most people live paycheck to paycheck. So, you know, you're going to be cold when winter comes. You're not going to have much money to burn.
Well, no, that's right.
But they did print $17 trillion, so maybe they'll start
passing
that out.
There's plenty around, yeah.
Because the kids are actually stacking it. Yeah. And they said this. They said that when they said that you can work for us during that time of this financial collapse that was going on in Germany, where Hitler was on the rise. They wanted to get rid of God. He was going to have his Mein Kampf, you know, Bible in the future. You know, all these things were going to happen. This is what was going on. All the groundwork was being set for this communist, you know, thing, which in communism is about, you know, God's gone, government's God. God will provide for you. Government will provide for you. God, I am God, the government would say. Their utopia. And when you read, I mean, if you read Hillary Clinton's term paper, her thesis, you know, for her, when she graduated from college, done on Saul Alinsky's techniques, she talks about, you know, there's no true ownership, you know, of properties. It's kind of communal type aspects of it. And it's like,
it's utopia of some sort.
Yeah, it's like, and that's what Pol Pot was going for, utopia. He thought if he takes everybody back to the rice fields, gets rid of all this intelligence that's going on, with wisdom and technology and all that, and if people go back to the rice fields, everything's going to be fine. They called it the killing fields, folks.
Wow.
Because to be able to force these things in that is against God, many people have to die. Many people have to die. And we can prevent that today by doing, and we'll talk more about it, we get back from the break, what Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, declared in a national day of prayer. And here we got global request from Australia to pray for our country. Dear Lord, hear these prayers we pray in Jesus' name. More, we'll get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So we're coming back. We're riding around in, you know, Pat's limousine. He gave us a ride out there. You know,
right?
I mean, what do you have now? It's like a DeLorean. What is it?
Right. It's a Yukon.
Oh, it's a Yukon.
Oh,
it takes 4 oil rigs in the back of his house to run this thing. Luckily, he lives by a nuclear plant and biofuels.
All right, yeah.
Man, you got fuel for days. You got a lot of biofuel and nuclear stuff. Anyway, and so we're riding along, you know. And just having this wonderful moment. And then a piece of paper drops. It just kind of floats down to the floor of his truck.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he almost runs off the road. No, he didn't run in his head. I mean, he couldn't drive straight anymore. I don't know what it was. Well, I don't understand it. You know, so I had to experiment to see what happened. So I took another piece of paper and I just intentionally threw this on the floorboard and his skin began to crawl. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
Oh, okay.
But I wasn't sure.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, welcome back. You know, John, continue reading this. This is a National Day of Prayer declared by President Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, in 1863, today, April 30th. 1863, and it just seems to line up so much because that just what you just said.
Yeah.
What's that last line you just said?
He said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and perceiving grace, preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us.
Well, that's why, you know, the Lord showed me very specifically during President George W. Bush's administration, mm-hmm. you know, when the financial crisis, remember Paulson coming out?
Yes.
And he's
terrified.
He's like, everything's going to be all right.
Henry Paulson.
Yeah, you got to see this video. It's like, you know, John and I were like, jaws hanging, like, this is not good. They just came out of that secret meeting about what they're going to do.
It was in the Rose Garden.
I mean, yeah, and they came out with the packages, yeah. you know, the stimulus packages. But God showed me America was like a plane heading for a crash.
Oh, yeah.
And the president was hanging on to the steering wheel, and it was just going straight down. He was just being a brave man. It was going down. And then he said, the president did say, not in this particular prophetic dream, but he said to everybody, he said that Wall Street got drunk mm-hmm. on their stocks or whatever. Drunk on the wealth. And that's exactly what is being said there.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah. He continues to say, it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness.
That's important because national sins are many. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, slavery, they were in slavery, fighting for slavery.
Right.
Part of America was fighting for it. Another half was fighting against it. And that was a national sin that we had to repent for. And one of many that are going on. So a lot of times we just think about ourselves and not historical sin. I just recently taught on that. You know, where King David had a famine going on for 3 years, and the Gibeonites were done wrong by his former predecessor. It wasn't him, but his administration was suffering for past administrations. Mm. It was King Saul who almost annihilated the Gibeonites. And so, but the present administration, which was King David that came after him, God's chosen man, he wasn't doing anything wrong. It actually was, he was living out the sins of his fathers.
Wow.
And so he went and prayed and asked God what it was, and it was because Saul mistreated the Gibeonites. And so he went to the Gibeonites, talking about national sin. Because what is repentance? Because a lot of people say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The repentance was, David went to them and said to people who weren't God's people, what do we need? We're sorry for what happened. What do we need to do so that you would bless the inheritance of the Lord?
Wow.
Is that humility or what? Versus like, yeah. I'm sorry. Here's some money.
Get over it.
Get you a little something, something.
Yeah.
He asked the question from somebody who wasn't God.
Which was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. And so he said, no, you're the king. We're not going to do this. And then finally, you know, he said, no, what is it? And they named the price, and they did it. And you know what? When David paid the price, the three-year drought where they didn't have any food, the economic crisis was going on, all of a sudden the clouds burst forth, and it began to rain on the harvest, and it was totally over.
Wow.
What you're saying, you know, repenting from national sins. We have to deal with those sins, the sins of our fathers. Wow. Yeah.
He goes on to say, now therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do by this my proclamation designate and set apart Thursday the 30th day of April 1863, 152 years ago today, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits, and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord. This is the President of the United States.
Wow.
Holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the United States to be affixed.
So awesome, because you think about, you know, these politics that divide, don't let it divide us as the church.
No.
We need to unite around God. We need to unite around the cross of Christ. We need to, the one thing, this is the beautiful thing about our God is that He's looking for an opportunity to forgive us. Hmm. He's looking for an opportunity to restore us. He's not waiting for us to make it right. He made it right in his son, but we have to acknowledge where we went wrong, and we got to get back on the right track again. I mean, he's looking for that opportunity. The opportunity is, you know, declaring a national day of prayer, us praying and saying, God, forgive us. Lord, you know, cleanse us from our sins. And going to folks and just saying, listen, you know, you were done wrong. What do we need to do for you to bless the Lord's inheritance? Mm. You know, instead of just like, let's just move on. No, if there was injustices in this nation, we need to find out in great humility, even like King David did when he dealt with historical sins. And we're going to make that available for all of our partners. It's totally there for you for free of charge. You can be a partner of any amount. Go to VFNTV.com. But you got to hear about dealing with historical sins. It's just so empowering. And once he did that, rain began to happen. I believe the sins of our fathers are foaming up. And all we have to do is just go deal with them. As a matter of fact, join us in our next program. You're going to see where one young German Christian lady is there at a Holocaust camp, and she's speaking to some young teenage Jews and how she is responding in a place of acting out in repentance. It's just a powerful thing. But I want to encourage you, join us today. Join those that are praying around the world, because this whole time of prayer they're talking about from the 30th all the way up to the 6th is on the eve of America's National Day of Prayer, which I think is May the 7th, mm-hmm. where we can all be praying that time. God, hear our prayers. As a matter of fact, let's just right now just join us in a time of prayer. And I want you just to take this moment. Take this moment and just think about how important this is, that God is looking for the opportunity to forgive us and to restore us. And it's important to think, yeah, they need to do that. You know, we need to do this.
We need to do that.
It's us.
Yeah.
You know, God loves all of his creation. And it's like, you know, it begins with someone willing to do what King David did, willing to do what President Abraham Lincoln did, and not what we just heard, you know, taking place. It's just some pretty wild stuff. Father God, we just come to you now, Jesus. Father God, and we ask you, first of all, to forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Our viewers that are watching and listening, God, we pray that, Lord, that you would just forgive them, Father God. Forgive us for the sins of our fathers and the injustices that all took place as well, God. Lord, the sins of this nation, we repent for them, God. You know, we were wrong, they were wrong, God, and you were right, Father God. I pray for equality in this nation before you, Father God. I pray, Father God, for peace to be restored, Father God. I pray, Lord God, for your church to awaken and arise, Lord, and the righteousness to flourish again in this nation, Father God. We pray that you, God, would be the Lord of this nation, just like Abraham Lincoln said, that we would make you the Lord of our nation, hence we would be a blessed nation, Lord. We ask you for it, your intent for this nation, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lady, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.